Hello.
Hi, Josh. It's Tina from Local Splash. How are you?
Hello. Good morning.
Hi. I was just following up because we're having trouble processing this month's payment, and I didn't know if there's something with the card.
Yeah, it's been a little slow for me, so I accidentally put gasoline in my diesel truck. So been tearing my motor apart and all that crap, so I've lost a week of work, so it was supposed to be already paid, but it kind of playing catch up, if you know what I mean. So I should be good next week.
Oh, yeah. Did you have to replace the engine, or was it just that when you put the diesel
in,
it started working?
So I was smart enough not to start it when I realized it before I started it. So if I'd have started it, I would have ruined it. But since I didn't start it, I ended up having to get it towed, and then we had to pull the tank out and clean the tank, and then it got a new fuel pump, new fuel lines, all kinds of new stuff. So yeah, it's quite a bit of money, but it's a mistake that, I don't know, I've been driving a diesel truck for over 15 years and I've never made the mistake, and I definitely did this time. So take it on the chin. I was going to pressure wash a deck and had a gas can in front of me, was on the phone talking to another customer, and reached down because I looked at the gas pump and realized that it was over 2 gallons. The gas can was 2 gallons, and I looked down and the pump wasn't in the tank. It wasn't in the gas can. It was in my tank. So when I was talking to them, just not thinking, I just put it straight in my gas tank and clicked it on instead of putting it in the gas can. So that's what happens when you try to multitask and do 10 different things at one time, run a company, and it just, you know, sometimes gets the better of you.
Yeah. You know what? I'm always afraid that's going to happen to me. There's one gas station by my house where the pump for the regular gas is on the right, but the pump for the diesel is on the left, and I'm always, like, trying to be mindful of it that I don't accidentally pull the wrong one, you know?
If you put diesel in a gas tank, it's not a big deal. If you put gas in a diesel, it's a huge deal. The difference is like a gas motor. I mean, a gas motor uses oil to lubricate, so then when the diesel goes in there, it just doesn't have enough octane to make it work, so then the car just won't run, so then you can drain the gas and then put new gas in it, and it'll be fine. It'll just smoke a little bit because there'll be oil in the fuel that it's burning. With a gas tank, with a diesel motor, the diesel works as a lubrication. So, like, the oil in the motor doesn't lubricate the motor. The gas does. So, because that's why it's 65% octane, because the rest of it's oil, and it runs off of friction. So, like, a gas motor has spark plugs that ignite every time the gas is put in there. Well, the way a diesel works is when that cylinder slides up, when it slides up, it creates friction, which makes it red in there, and when that goes in there, it explodes. So, basically, you put a bomb in your motor at that point in time, and it blows it up, like literally blows it up. So I was lucky. I was smart enough to stop it from that happening. But
you were very lucky, because I wouldn't have known that. Oh, it would have been too late.
If it would have been a 2020, well, luckily I've owned race cars and a lot of junk cars in my life, so I know a lot about vehicles, and luckily I know enough to know that I had to stop. But if it had been like a 2024 brand new, like, F-350, it would have cost me $20,000.
Wow.
Instead, it was just like 8,000.
But still, look at you. You're laughing about it, but man, that hurts.
I mean, it's life. It's life. I mean, when you own your own company and you go through the shit that I go through on a daily basis and deal with people and all the different stuff, I mean, it's just, you take stuff on the chin. It just is what it is.
Yeah, and like you say, chalk it up as a learning experience. Like you said, that's never going to happen again.
Not even a learning experience. It's a fucking stupid-ass action, but, you know, it is what it is. That's the reason why I need to use my answering machine instead of picking up the phone on every phone call. You know what I mean? Like, answering the phone every time somebody calls versus just let it go to the voicemail and call them back. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
It sucks because it takes like 3 hours of my day if I don't stop and just answer the call and be done with it, write down what I need to do, and then just keep going. It takes up like 3 hours of my day when I get home, and then I'm trying to contact people that probably aren't around or whatever. So it's a double-edged sword, you know. It's a double-edged sword. I'm not big enough to be able to have somebody to be able to estimate and take phone calls and all that for me. So it is what it is, you know. You bite off what you can chew and you swallow and then take another bite.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, some of the clients that we work with, they use like an answering service, and I don't know who provides it or how much it costs, but it's kind of cool because if they don't pick up the phone will roll over to an answering service, and that person will kind of filter the calls. And, you know, if it's important, obviously they can send you a message and you could call back when you're available. But if it's not, then you don't have to worry about going through like a bunch of calls at night when you get home. You know, they would probably just disregard them.
Oh, yeah.
And then, and that way you don't have to hire a full time
more
person.
Things going out too, you know, it's more things going out too. And it's a lot more to keep up. It's more bills. It's just a lot. Like, I'd be better off having somebody that I could hire to do estimates for me and field the calls and do estimates at the same time. That would be a full time deal. But like, that's the whole thing. It's just, you know, you do what you do
again,
and you're used to it, and then, you know, people make mistakes and it just happens. I'd rather deal with my own than have to deal with other people's.
I'm on your mindset too. Like, if I can answer the phone and take the calls myself, even if it's a little bit inconvenient at night to go through the missed ones, you know, at least it's something that, you know, I like to have a handle on. But I was just telling you, there is something like that out there. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I would use it or not.
Yeah.
I got a friend that runs Amazon, and he runs, he's one of the 16 distribution people. So there's only 16 people in the nation. There's only 16 people in the nation that does all the distribution for Amazon, and he's one of those guys, and he does the tri-state area, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee. And he's one of them people that's more of a hands-off type guy, which, I mean, he made $7.5 million in profit last year. But with that being said, he's also got 7 lawsuits against LGBTQ+ people that have tried to sue him for discrimination because he fired them for legitimate reasons. Yeah. So, like, this dude's literally got, like, a possibility of, like, $750,000 in lawsuits right now. And he's currently trying.
Yeah.
And he knows they're all going to lose, but it's going to cost him $750,000 to beat them all. So, like, he's currently trying to go around and offer people $10,000 and $15,000 just to drop the lawsuit because it's cheaper than paying his attorneys and everything. And
he's like,
I can't help it. He's like, I realized that the subsidies of hiring these people were great because I'm hiring LGBTQ+ and you get all these different benefits and all these different things. He was like, but when it comes to getting rid of these people, they're impossible to get rid of. He's like, you get sued every time. And
because they use that as a crutch, kind of like that's the reason.
It's as discrimination. Yep. Yeah. And when they say he has to prove the whole reason why they're fired, and it costs him, you know, money to pay people to go investigate these people to get them fired. And then once they're fired, he has to save all them records because he knows they're going to come back with a lawsuit. And then he's got attorneys that he pays. He's got like 7 different attorney firms that he pays. You know what I mean? And these people are going through, you know, private investigators, learning these people's history and all that stuff. And it costs big money to do this stuff. To go to trial, and then he has to pay trial and all
mess.
That stuff. So it's cheaper for him to pay $60,000 to make stuff go away than the $750,000. And he was just like, you got problems, wait till you get in my field. And I was just like, dude, I have no desire.
did he say that any of them took the bait?
I mean, some of them take them, but, you know, I mean, some of them don't either. You know what I mean? Because they think they can get more and really, once it comes to a certain point, he's like, all right, well, this is principle. You're pride fighting, so I guess I'm pride fighting too. And then he just spends the money, so he ain't got to pay them nothing. But he's like, in the beginning of it, he's like, I'm cutting off my nose to spite my face. He's like, it's just easier and cheaper to just get them to settle, to not have to go to court, because it drags it out for 3 to 5 years. And he's paying for court appearances for all these different things. And then by then, you know, he said at one time he had 27 lawsuits he was going through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He has 557 trucks.
Yeah.
So he has 557 employees that just drive for him. And then he's got all the logistic people that are all, like, doing everything. Because Amazon loads the trucks and Amazon leases the trucks to him. And everything else is on him. So, like, even with his insurance and everything, if a truck breaks down, it's cheaper for him to pay to have it fixed and not say nothing to the insurance, because his insurance claims will go up so high with the leases and stuff that it's not physically worth it to have the trucks anymore. So he's got to find out avenues and ways to go around stuff to fix stuff that's cheaper than to pay in the top dollar prices of everything. It's crazy. And I was just like, dude, I don't see how you do it. And he was like, well, you know, And what's funny about it is he hires all those people, and whenever he went to that thing, he went to Cancun, and there was 3,000 people that were auditioning for those 16 people, right? Well, when he walked in there, they listened to him everything and told him that they just didn't think he was a good enough candidate. And he looked at him and was like, why, is it because I'm black? And they was like, you know what? We like your fire. You're hired. And they hired him because he said that. Like, literally walked in there and said that. And this is a dude that was a military brat. He was born in Germany. Both his parents are, like, E8s or whatever. Like, they're really, really successful. A lot of money. Comes from a lot of money. Came from a big school. And he said that one race thing one time and got that job. And it cost him $50,000 to buy into it. And he makes $7 million in cash a year. You know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah, what a story.
That dude is he's an interesting dude, but you talk to him and you find out the liberal business model versus the conservative business model, and it's completely different. It's all about what kind of government give me, what kind of contracts can I get from them, how can I use it to best benefit me, and then discard it when I'm done. And
oh, wow.
The conservative business model was bringing it up from your bootstraps, making it from nothing, taking nothing from nobody, and then just making your business from you because you made it. Like the old Henry Ford and Carnegie deal. You know what I mean? Like that's the conservative model versus the liberal model, which is like, what kind of letters can I write? Yeah. What kind of letters can I write to get the kind of help and these benefits because I've been wronged or my genetics have been wronged or whatever. You know what I mean? And instead of, you know, you come to America, the land of the free and the land of capitalism to come build the stuff of your dreams and with nobody's help.
Yeah.
That business is gone.
Really? It's true. That doesn't happen anymore. That's true. Aw. Well, your friend sounds like a cool guy. Yeah, that's really good. I bet he has a lot
he's
of trust
definitely
when
somebody
he goes to camp.
He's got like a 180 IQ, so like it's really, really smart. Like, really smart. And it's one of the things too, but he also went there and took, when he went to college, he was taking like, political science and things like that. So not only did he get like an MBA and an entrepreneurial business background from college, he's got like an MBA in business and MBA in networking and like all these different things and all these different entrepreneurial backgrounds. So when you look at his resume, it's just like, holy shit, dude, like you're a hell of an entrepreneur. And then you look at his paper and his paper's like, wow, you make $7 million a year, but you don't realize that it was just 50 grand that he invested the right way one time that got him there.
Yeah. Wow. That's like a rags to riches story. Yeah. Opportunities for sure. That's so cool.
Yep.
So,
it's all about networking and opportunities and a little bit of luck.
For
and
sharing
you,
everything with me. I put a note in here that you just need a week or so, right? That you said
yeah, exactly.
Like a week
and
or
I'll
so
be
probably.
Together. Yeah,
okay,
by next Friday,
no
I should be more than done, more than ready.
Okay, I'll put a note here that if I don't hear from you, that I'll follow up next Friday, okay?
Well, also know that they tap that thing every 24 hours. So, like, I also know when I put the money in, it'll be gone the next morning. So, if nothing else, you'll look at it and it'll be paid.
Yeah, that happens sometimes when people tell me they need time. Sometimes I'll come in and a few days later I see that the system already processed.
Weather's messed me up too. So we've had a lot of rain here and some of my work's been exterior. So we've had a lot of rain and a lot of wind and now we're going back in the 40s. So we were in the 70s. So like our weather's still chopped and changing. So it's kind of hard to do outside work.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. It's funny how volatile the weather's been lately. You know, one day, my dad lives in Chicago. He said last week, one day was 80 degrees and the next day was snowing. And I'm like, that is a big variance. It's huge. It's like, who would think that could happen, you know?
Well, what it is the nor'easter is slowly going back up north. The jet streams are slowly moving, but there's still the bow. So, like, anytime you look at a meteorology and you look at the only reason why I know much about it is because my work revolves around weather. So when you look at it, whenever the seasons change and the earth moves away from the sun, that jet stream comes down and brings all the polar north from down. Well, as that's moving back up, you still get ripples of it, just like the American flag flying in the air. You get ripples of those jet streams, and then those jet streams are what causes those fronts, which makes what's volatile when it's hot and cold drastic. You get tornadoes, you get lightning, thunder, you know, all these different things.
Electricity.
So it's all part of, that's why I don't know if you noticed it, but the past year, there's been a lot of places all around the United States that can see the northern lights. Ever since I've been a child, you've never been able to see the northern lights unless you went to Alaska. or Canada.
That's
it's
true.
The only way you can see
I think I've
light.
Been hearing that.
So
yeah, you're right.
The polarization of the Earth and everything, we're going through a physical change. That's just like if you know history, during what they call the mild ice age, like the Dutch have always been the best skiers in the world. Well, if you go over Deutschland, if you go over there, there's no snow. They haven't had snow there for over 100 years, but they're still the best skiers.
Oh.
And the reason why is because during the small ice age back in like the 1800s and whatever, there was so much snow there that they didn't know what to do. So that's how they developed snowshoeing and skiing and all these different things, because that was the only way they could get back and forth. And then over those
funny.
Years,
it was
they've
like
evolved
survival.
To be the best skiers. Yeah, they've evolved to be the best skiers in the world. And that's the reason why, even though that they don't get snow no more, because of the years, the genetics of evolution and everything have evolved them to be those type of people. And then they're slowly losing it. But it takes a long time for people like that to change. And that's the reason why we have the difference in the world of what we know is, like, people talk about, the world, the global warming and all that shit. Like, global warming is just a fucking scam. It's all the world's rolling through it phases. Like, our world does that. Like, I mean, that's just what the Earth does, is it goes through phases. And that's like perfect example of misinformation is, oil is made from dinosaur bones. Well, we know for sure that it's not made from dinosaur bones, because we've never found a dinosaur 330,000 feet in the Earth.
Oh,
but
I see.
There's huge oil pockets in 330,000 feet down in the Earth. There's huge oil pockets. Well, before we thought, back when Rockefeller coined it, that it was a fossil fuel, that we were taking oil out of like less than 50 feet from the ground. So they thought it was from dinosaurs because it was less than 50 feet. We didn't realize that we were just catching what sipped off the top of the tectonic plate that was sitting in a little pool from where that pool was full. So then it leaked through the plate and came up, and we tapped into a little piece of it. That's why all those oil wells in Texas have been running since the 1800s, and a lot of them get old, and they're like, well, they're not producing. So then they dig them down another 100,000 feet, and then now they're producing 10 times more than they ever were, because they just had a little straw on the top of the cup and wasn't in the cup. And now they're pumping real oil. And then if you look at the way the world is, Texas oil is the standard because it's the lowest reformed oil in the world. So then we get places like when Biden was president, we were getting oil from Venezuela. Well, that shit comes out of the barrel like mud, and it takes 10 times more resources to be able to refine it and turn it into gasoline and diesel and naphtha thinner, paint thinner, and all these different things that we use. So, and literally it's made from a distillation process. So literally they boil it in a steel just like they would a moonshine steel. And when it gets to certain temperatures, there's different pipes at certain temperatures where the pressure pushes it up that temperature. And when it does, it transfers and boils off one product that runs down that tube. And then the other stuff keeps rising. And that's how you get the runoffs of all these different things. So basically, by us selling oil and Donald Trump restocking our oil reserves means that we don't have to use everybody else's oil. We can use our own. So then our oil prices go down dramatically because we don't have to refine it as far, and we're not paying to ship it from Venezuela here, and it's like a bucket of mud that we got to turn into gas.
That's
so
crazy that
was
happening.
People are just,
that's crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. And it's the same way with Arab Emirates. The Arab Emirates is the same way. The Arab Emirates, their stuff's not like mud, but it's like half and half mud, and what we have is oil. So then it has to be reformed half as much. They just have so much of it and are willing to sell everything they got that makes their prices and makes them so rich. And that's the reason why we're trying to obtain Greenland and places of Canada. It's like Alberta, like right now, they got people that are trying to secede from the Canadian Union and come to the United States because they know that the trades and tariff wars and all that stuff, Canada can't hold it. That's why Trudeau resigned.
Yeah.
And then when he resigned,
he
found out his party can't hold itself together, so he wouldn't leave until they did elections. Well, they postponed elections because they know that the Liberal Party in Canada is going to fall apart because nobody's supporting them. So, what a lot of people don't know is there's five factions in Canada. Well, one of those factions, that dude that leads that faction went to school with J.D. Vance in Ohio.
Really?
So
they're
really, really good friends, been good friends for a long time. So the shit that he's talking about, Canada being the 51st state, really isn't as far-fetched as a lot of people think, because the people up there making the decisions and the people that are listening to the people are the ones that are literally talking to Donald Trump. And all four of those factions, except for Trudeau's faction, had been to Mar-a-Lago and talked to him before he became president. So, it was already there. And it's the same way with Greenland. Greenland wants their independence from Denmark because Denmark can't afford to take care of all the stuff that they want to do. Well, they can't afford to be independent because they have no trade, they have no nothing. But they can come with us and be a 51st state and then be the same way as Guam. And that's like a lot of people don't know about Guam. Guam we thought was inhabited. We went there and there was people there and we were like, all right, this is ours. And they were like, who are you? And literally they were infighting in a civil war and we dropped off one American that had been there before and was like, hey, you're the leader. And we came back like 20 years later and they were trying to kill this guy. And then we reinstalled him and made a military base there and made ports there and everything. And that's how Guam became a territory.
That's funny.
We just took it.
What a story. Yeah. That's that. Yeah. Well, I mean, like you say, if there's alliances in those trade-offs that benefit those islands, you know what I mean?
It's all about networking. It's all about, opportunity and a little bit of luck. Like, they're all businesses. Yep. That's all they are. They're all ran by the 11 families. That's just like a lot of people with the Ukrainian thing don't realize that. They got Zelensky. They just reported, like a week or two ago, that he's got $2.6 billion to build a ski resort in Ukraine. Like,
you're at war,
and you're going to build a fucking ski resort in Ukraine. And then not to mention that, all the reconstruction has been bid on and got by BlackRock. Well, BlackRock owns 48% of all the real estate in America. They own the S&P 500. And they own 90% of the stock market. So they went behind the deal with Biden and then did a deal with Biden to where they could go in there and get those contracts. So then all that money is being embezzled to BlackRock through our countries, giving it to Ukraine. Ukraine's paying us to rebuild their stuff. And then when Ukraine pays BlackRock to rebuild their stuff, guess who's invested in BlackRock? All of our congressmen and senators.
Oh, interesting.
So
and
that's the fraud that Donald Trump is talking about, that he's trying to get rid of these politicians making all this money and eliminate all this bullshit, and that's why they're all pissed off, is because Chuck Schumer, fucking Adam Schiff, and all these other people have been getting money since we've been in Ukraine. Well, of course they want Ukraine to go, and of course they want more help to Ukraine, because the Democrats' model has always been to put the foot on Russia. Whether Russia's done nothing wrong or anything, it's always to put the foot on Russia. So it's like, oh, well, we need to fight a proxy war to take care of Russia because we don't, as America, want to go to war with Russia. Because what that's going to do is Russia's going to go to China and then North Korea, and then they're going to be like, all right, we need to launch our rockets at one time, and they're all going to launch our rockets at us, and we're going to be in a nuclear winter. And that will never take place because of that. So, like, that's the reason why they fight a proxy war, and they're trying to take trade and do what they're trying to do and crush people's economies. And Europe, the EU's involved in it as well. They're doing the same shit. They're funneling money through there, stealing their money, and that's why a lot of them places in the EU are pissed off as well.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man.
That's the thing about social media and the internet. You can only hide shit for so long. Eventually it comes out.
Yeah. So thank you for filling me in. I got some calls in my queue. I have to run, but I do want to ask you one thing. No, I enjoy talking to you, but I don't want it to
I get it.
Stack up those calls. But I wanted to ask you one thing, because you mentioned that the system will process this once daily. Is the card that we have on file still good, the MasterCard ending in 5191? Because if not, I could put the new card in and just set it for next Friday. That way it doesn't
hit 5191. Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Okay.
That account,
all right.
That's my company account, and I only put it in there to pay bills. And, like, there's only two or three bills that come out of that account, and that's pretty much what I use that for, is to pay company bills and to keep track of that. So that's basically what that's for, is just paying bills.
Yeah, because this one's saying that there is an invalid transaction or card restriction on it. So I don't know if maybe they sent you a new card with the same number but a different expiration or something. So, because we have May of 5 of 2027.
I don't know if maybe they put a restriction on it because it keeps trying to ding money out of my account.
I don't know, because it's,
yeah,
cause you know,
it's valid through 4/27.
Okay. Oh, 4/27. We have 5/27. Maybe that's it. Okay, let me fix that.
Yes,
and
4/27
then
is a valid date.
Is the code 100 on the back?
Yes.
The security code? Okay, so we had a different month. Okay. I updated that, and then we'll just see. Like you say, it's probably going to be okay by next week, but if not, I'll follow up with you again. And then I'll text you my direct line, too. If everything gets squared away and you see that there's still problems with the account, you could always call me, okay?
Okay, definitely. That sounds good.
Right. Oh, I enjoyed talking to you. You're a neat guy.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, I kind of, I'm a history person, and I love correlating history to the real life, because there's so many fucking retarded people out here that don't correlate history and would know the right answer without even having to think, because it's already been there. So we've already been everywhere we're at.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking, I wanted you to someone like you would be great to talk to my dad, because my dad is a big liberal, and he'll send me articles like once or twice a month on everything that Donald Trump is doing wrong. But when I read his articles, they're always just opinions, you know? People's opinion. There's no facts behind it. They'll say, oh, he doesn't have a heart, and he's immoral, and he does this, and he does that. I'm like, okay, but where's the substance behind that, you know? Like, it's just opinion.
You know,
Robert De Niro, he sent me an article about Robert De Niro's opinion of him, and I'm like, is this supposed to change my mind or something?
Well, Robert De Niro is a great person to look at. I mean, look at the fact that he's got a black wife, and he's never had any of his own children. They're all adopted, and he all adopted them from Africa. So, like, he's definitely in that fucking, he's in that percentile. He's in that part, and plus he's Hollywood. Why would you listen to anything as Hollywood? Like, look at the history of the name Hollywood. Hollywood was what the witches made their broomsticks out of, and the Hollywood was also used, is looked at as the cauldron of knowledge and misinformation, and you stir the cauldron, you know what I mean, with the witch's broomstick, you know what I mean?
That actually fits that article he sent me.
Just look at the Wizard of Oz.
Flip, like, what's right and wrong, you know what I mean? They'll try to make it look like everything that's good is wrong, when it's the opposite that's true, you know? It's weird.
It's great. It's great in a way, is because, you know, like, here's the thing. Here's the differential between those people. So a lot of the grassroots people that are older, that are in their 80s and their 70s, never got nothing from nobody and always had to earn everything on their own. You know what I mean? And then you got some – and unfortunately, they play off of the whole thought process of you should always help people. You should always do these things. So, like, people like your dad, like, I'm sure he would be, like, a real proponent of World War II, of an American saving them from the Nazis and all this different shit. But if they realized, and you did the history of it, a lot of the book burnings back then was, I forgot the guy's name, I don't want to say it because I'm going to butcher it, but he was a Jewish guy, but he was one of the first guys to open a transgender research center. So a lot of those book burnings were transgender filth, which would be like pornography, filth, things like that would be like transgenderism, homosexuality, promoting things like that. And they got rid of it because Christian faith was really huge. You know what I mean? And the Jewish, if you look at the Jewish through the histories, they're known for infidelity. They're known for, I mean, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at all these different things that have happened to the Jews, and they've been enslaved for 40,000 years and all these different things because they can't get it right. God has punished them because they cannot get it right. So if you look at the Bible and correlate that with history, and then you look at the history of the fact of the book burnings with Hitler, and like where he was, he came from grassroots. Like people compare him to Donald Trump a lot, but they don't realize that they're actually closer than they realize, because if you look at Hitler in his youth, he was a person that was, he had bad health. He was always made fun of, he was always took advantage of, and he was always given the shit end of the stick. And when he became a politician, he ran on good merit and good things. And then from there, he got the dose of power and got drunk.
That's the part
of it, is whenever Hitler got to a certain point, he got drunk with power and started seeking things throughout history that were like the spear of destiny and the things that were the conqueror of all kingdoms and all these different things. And like, we didn't know that. We didn't know of all the things. But what I was getting to with the whole transgender thing and the book learning was that those Jews that left, that exact Jewish guy that left, came to America and founded the University of Columbia. So the University of Columbia, look up the University of Columbia. Look at all that and how it does all this stuff. They are the number one DEI college of the country. They are the number ones that come out that are talking about all these inequality and all this gender remodification and all these different things.
I see that university on the news all the time. Exactly.
That's who founded that. You can look those things up and literally pull it out of the history books. Like, it's real. Like, those are the things that are, like, that are the misinformation that they had back then, that America, the reason why America wasn't in the war. So there's the burning of the bush or something like that. I can't remember the name of it. There's a book about Henry Dodd, and you can look him up. Henry Dodd was an ambassador that we sent over to Germany. And he, during that time period, and that book talks about how him and his daughter, he took his daughter with him, and like his daughter ended up going to the Nuremberg trials and being tried because she got with a guy and fell in love with a USSR, like KGB operative or whatever. And they fell in love and like they ended up trying to try her for treason and all kinds of stuff, which didn't end up going nowhere or anything because she didn't do any treason or anything. But, like, Henry Dodd himself, like, you could see through the book, he's like, yeah, like, people say they're treating the Jews bad, but they really ain't really treating them that bad, you know what I mean? Like, it's not really that bad. And then you can see it escalate to the point to where he's like, man, I don't feel safe in Germany no more. You know what I mean? Because at that point in time, Hitler was turning on his own people. Well, Hitler had a couple of homosexual transgender people in the SS that were scientists and shit like that, and the only reason why he had them there was, what's the same reason why we brought Walter von Braun here? Same reason why we bought all these different astronauts and rocketry people, because we had to have the brightest minds. And that's the same thing Elon's talking about with the visas and everything. Is it's like, we don't have the America's strongest minds. Look at what Donald Trump said whenever they were standing in a press conference. He told him, he was like, look, we tried to find somebody better than Elon, but we couldn't do it. So Elon's here.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he said. That's exactly what he said. We tried. We can't find nobody better. You know what I mean? It's just the truest thing. And then you look at history, look at Elon Musk, and that dude is a huge proponent of history. And then you look at that, and then that's why he designed the Tesla, named after Tesla, because of the DC motor, because of the motor. That's the reason why he did that, was because Edison and J.P. Morgan ousted him a long time ago when Tesla died in the New Yorker hotel. Donald Trump's great grandfather was the dude that was in charge of taking all his trunks, and there was 90 something trunks, and they only returned like I think 60 of them, and they said there was no scientific value to any of his experiments. But we never sent none of them back to Serbia, which is now the Nikola Tesla Museum in Serbia. Well, they still missed all them trunks and everything, so all that stuff we kept, which was like the Tesla death ray and like all these different things. Well, Tesla wanted to give everybody free electricity and knew that the way that the world worked was that you could just plug a light bulb in the ground and get electricity, because if the positive ions were in the air, the negative came from the ground. All you needed to do is put it in the ground and the positive air would charge it, and then it would do it. Tesla coils have been proven to be real. But J.P. Morgan wanted it to be a money-making deal. So when he did, that's why he sided with Edison, and Edison said that Tesla was a kook and he was going to kill everybody and all these different things, because they wanted everybody to set up on a power grid, not to be able to get energy out of the air. So that's why we have the power grid that we have today, and that's the reason why everything is the way it is, because J.P. Morgan wasn't allowed to invest in any of that stuff until Mr. Morgan died. He died in a wagon crash in Europe, meeting with Mr. Rothschild. And that's how Mr. Rothschild was the one that gave Morgan his start to make the central banking system in America. And that's like a lot of people don't realize that, you know, Kennedy got, I mean, I know it wasn't Kennedy, I think it was Roosevelt. I think it was Roosevelt. One of the presidents, there used to be two treasuries. Then they got rid of one to make only one. And there used to be two world banks with the two treasuries, so then they made it only one world bank. So then all that stuff that got changed, that's another reason why a lot of our world changed that way, and J.P. Morgan became who he was and all the people that became who they were, because J.P. Morgan and Henry Ford and Rockefeller and Carnegie were the ones that developed the public school system so everybody would work in assembly lines, because everybody had neighborhood schools and everybody taught whatever they needed to be taught around in those areas, not about how to work on an assembly line. Well, at that point in time, they were trying to do the Industrial Revolution. So they had to indoctrinate in kids and teach them how to work on assembly lines, so they created the public school system. It was ran by the government. And J.P. Morgan helped fund that through the public banking system and then through taxes and all the other things, and that's the reason why we have our kids that are completely don't know their ass and out on the ground. Because we got all these teachers that have been taught from professors from the University of Columbia, and they're worried about diversity and all these other things instead of coming here. Well, I mean, perfect example. I watched a dude named Charlie Kirk. You know who Charlie Kirk is?
Oh, I love Charlie Kirk. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So Charlie Kirk was in Pennsylvania or someplace like that, and was doing one of his little talk things, his little TED talks. Well, the dude comes up and he was like, okay. So he's like, I just ask who you are and what you do, like whether you're a student or whatever. And he's like, well, I'm a professor. And da da da. He's like, okay, cool. I got a great question for you. What is a woman? And he was like, well, what are you talking about? He was like, well, what are you talking about? He was like, a female has female genitalia. A woman is a state of mind. And he's like, no, you're wrong. And then he starts breaking it down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then starts breaking it down. It's not a state of mind. Like a male is a male and a female is a female. When you look at plumbing parts and you go through the aisle, a male doesn't intersect with a male. You can't connect it without a female. Like that. These are genitalia. These are positives and negatives.
That will approach Charlie Kirk will be like, well, you don't have a degree, and they try to like downgrade him, but he's smarter than anybody that I've ever seen him talk to, you know? So.
Well, yeah. So to be 100% honest, I'm a Trump fan. Don't get me wrong. I like Trump, but like I know that he has mouth issues and things like that. The person that I love is Vivek Ramaswamy. Vivek Ramaswamy is a tech billionaire. He's not a white dude. He's an Indian dude that has been instilled in education and is smart, and everything he answers is calculated and definitive. And then
he's on the administration too, though, right?
No, they wanted him in DOGE, and he said no because he's going to run to be governor of he wants to be governor of Ohio. He'll be running for president, but he's going to fight Bashir for that because Bashir's going to run, and D.C., which is Daniel Cameron, is going to run for Mitch McConnell's seat. So Bashir's going to run for president. So that's the reason why, because normally the governor would run up for the senator seat, and since he's going straight for president, because they wanted him to run with Kamala, and Bashir told him under no certain terms would he run with Kamala. That's the reason why they got 10-10.
That's funny.
Well, I mean, that shit's crazy by itself.
I'm going to get in trouble. These calls are stacking up, but we'll talk more next time.
I'm sorry.
Thank you so much for sharing, and have a great day, okay, Josh?
You too. All right.
Okay, bye.